Hello and welcome to the In the Zone Baseball Podcast. I am your host, Logan Riley, and today we are going to be going over pretty much the basics that will be going on for spring training this year. We are a couple days into spring training, a lot of new things that we're going to be seeing, a lot of new prospects that are coming up, and I think a lot of impact players that are going to be really showing off their stuff. So I want to start with kind of what an overview of what this podcast is going to be about. Basically, this is going to be hopefully a weekly podcast talking about what's going on in baseball, trades, injuries, how teams are statistically working around the new baseball theory, because there is now like a theory to how baseball is supposed to be won, almost like the Moneyball strategy. So we're going to be going over that. We're going to be going over just basic news of the MLB in that week. And I want to start off today's podcast with the new jerseys that is being introduced for the spring training games. Personally, I like the jerseys. They're trying to really revamp what the jerseys look like, trying to make them look a little more towards what we would accept as a newer jersey, kind of updated look, not looking very old-fashioned, looking quite interesting and new. MLB.com is selling their jerseys, and they're going to have patches for Arizona and Florida, and they're kind of similar patches, but that's going to be something interesting to see. If those are just going to be for spring training, or if those are going to be a major factor in terms of what teams chooses their jerseys for the year. So, Jake Arrieta, he's accepting the Cubs' plan to keep him well-rested for the season. Last year, Arrieta went 22-6 with a 1.77 ERA in the National League, Cy Young winner, and the Cubs, I respect their decision. They're trying to keep their Cy Young pitcher fresh. They don't want him to do too much in spring training. They want to keep him ready for the season because he was such a large factor last year for them, and he's not really going to finish games, as they're saying in this article, and he's just going to kind of come in, find his stuff. But they want to make sure that when he gets into the regular season, that he is as electric as he was, at least in the second half of last season. Arrieta, he went 12-1. He had a 0.75 ERA against the 15 second half starts, which is just electric. You cannot beat a 0.75 ERA. That's just absolutely incredible, and it's just, you can't beat anything like that. It's just such an incredible ERA. He had some really great stuff. His fastball was always working. He had good off speed. He was just an electric player. So since, of course, we are in the kind of end of the winter, we are starting to see teams try and make some moves, try and kind of line up what their team is going to look like for the rest of the year. So the Detroit Tigers recently picked up right-handed pitcher Bobby Parnell, and they got him on a minor league contract, and they did invite him to spring training. So, I am a Mets fan, and Bobby Parnell was with the Mets for quite a long time, and I felt like with Bobby Parnell, he was like a box of chocolates. You never really knew what was going to go on. He was either going to come in, and he was going to just get the job done, or he was going to really struggle, and it was just the lack of consistency was very disheartening for me as a Mets fan. It was just very difficult to watch because of how he would sometimes come in situations where there were no pressure at all. There was no pressure, and he would just blow the opportunity. And then he would come in these key pressure situations, and he would look amazing. So was it the fact that he just couldn't handle the pressure sometimes, or he was just all having a box of chocolates kind of season? I don't know. But it's going to be interesting to see how he fits into the Detroit Tigers and if he can even make it to the team, because they're signing him to a minor league contract. There's got to be a reason for that. There's obviously motivation for Bobby to come back into the majors. He wants to play. He wants to be as dominant as he knows he can. But he just hasn't been able to show the amount of talent that he has. He's been so dominant at points, but at other points, he's just looked weak, where he's not doing anything. And we've got a lot of players that are being invited to spring training. And the spring training dynamic is very different from a regular season dynamic because it's more panicked, I would say, in terms of players' minds. Because when you're in those spring training games, you may only get that one at-bat every two games. And that one at-bat, you've got to prove to your manager or your team owner that you're able to play at the level which they are looking to sign a player. And that can be really difficult because you sometimes just don't get at-bats that go your way. And when you're a top player that gets those at-bats over and over again, you're like, okay, there's always next at-bat. But when you're a hitter and you're not able to go out and get that next at-bat, it's just not the same. It's not fair and just for players that are fighting for spots to kind of not get as much time because they're just not being able to get the amount of reps that they would need to show off their full potential. And, I mean, there's going to be players that come out and they show themselves to be these great players, but there's also players that they're not necessarily ready yet, but they could be if the teams were really devoting themselves towards their players. And I definitely think that there are some great teams out in the majors that will devote themselves to growing a team. I mean, to take the Mets, for example, they have a really strong farm system. They made a lot of trades. They were able to trade R.A. Dickey away to the Blue Jays to pick up Travis d'Arnaud, who just came out. And he had a pretty decent season last year. I definitely think that that was a solid trade. Their farm system is bringing up a whole new middle infield with Neil Walker and Asdrubal Cabrera. There's going to be a lot of things that will happen for that team. They were able to make it to second place last year, runner-up in the World Series. So I think that if more teams were to take the minor league approach and say, hey, we can get prospects, we can scout people, and we can grow them to be extremely good players, that way we're not only just growing great players and talent that's young that we can use for years and years to come, but we're saving money because we don't have to go out and pay for these already developed players that are $35 million a season or something. We have that talent already within our system. We can just bring it up and pay them minimum wage. The thing that people don't really realize is players like Jacob deGrom, they are just extremely electric, and people tend to get caught up in the moment saying, wow, they're so good, they're great, they're amazing pitchers, but they're on their rookie contracts still. So even though they're great, they're getting paid next to nothing to be great. And people may say that that's not fair to the player, but from a business perspective, that is a great opportunity to put together a winning staff, because I think at least three players on the Mets starting pitching staff were on their rookie contract. They were electric and they were dominant, and they were able to save just this amazing amount of money on having to pay contracts. Now, because the players are so expensive, coming off of their rookie contracts, they're going to be extremely expensive. But for those years that they were not on full contracts and they were on their rookie contracts, the Mets were saving money. So I definitely think that teams need to focus on their farm systems, because I think farm systems now within baseball are the way to run a team. They are the way to build up a roster, to build up biting chances at making it to the playoffs, making a strong run. And I kind of want to touch on a subject, Aroldis Chapman. And Aroldis Chapman is definitely facing some charges from the Yankees coming up. And he has been playing with the Yankees. Joe Girardi, I have to give him credit, because he is waiting to form an opinion about Aroldis Chapman. He said that in an interview. And Aroldis Chapman is an electric pitcher, but he's only got speed. And speed is good, but sometimes it's not as devastating as off-speed. Aroldis Chapman is aging, and as he ages, he's not going to be able to throw 106 every single time that he tries to pitch a ball. So it's going to be interesting to see, as Aroldis Chapman gets older and older, and he starts to lose velocity, what is going to be his go-to? Is he just going to fall apart and not be able to pitch at the level that he normally would be able to? Or is he going to develop something that he's going to say, yeah, I may not be able to throw 104 miles an hour anymore, but I'm going to be able to throw 97, but I'm going to have a curveball or a slider, and I'm going to mix those two pitches up, and if I can mix those together, I might be able to make something and have a career left to work with. So it's going to be a very interesting thing to see what Aroldis Chapman brings to the table, to see as he progresses with the Yankees what is going to happen with him and what is going to change about the way that he pitches. And it's just going to be an interesting experience. So, continuing on with our pitching kind of motion, Tyler Clippard was picked up by the Arizona Diamondbacks. Tyler Clippard used to be the most dominant pitcher I knew. Now, Aroldis Chapman, he was great. But Tyler Clippard had something about him that allowed him to just be perfect in pressure situations. When he was on the Nationals, he was just an unstoppable closer. He was amazing with close games. He was great with long-term long leads. And he was someone that the Nationals could really count on. Now, he did have a short stint with the Mets. He was pretty good with the Mets, but now he's on to the Diamondbacks. And the Diamondbacks this year, I think, are going to be just an amazing team. They have been able to sign some great names. They have a great front office that they're working with. They're kind of rebranding their team. So they're trying to rebrand their team into something new. So everyone always knew the Diamondbacks as, yeah, they were kind of like the bottom of the bunch in terms of team. They never had anything really special to them. It was just kind of there. They were a team that was there. But they, in the past year, have signed players that are going to revolutionize the team. Just running down some of the players, they have Josh Colemanter, 6'4", he's just an absolute beast. Patrick Corbin, he is another great pitcher who I think is going to have a great season. And, I mean, how could you forget Zach Greinke? They were able to pick up Zach Greinke to add to their lineup of pitching. That's huge for a team that is trying to kind of rebrand. They're taking a player as good as Zach Greinke and putting him in a rotation with Shelby Miller. He's got great things that Zach, I think, could learn from Shelby, and Shelby Miller could learn from Zach Greinke. And I'm really interested to see, not only through spring training, but into the regular season, how the Diamondbacks are going to use their dominance in the offseason of making trades and wheeling and dealing and being able to get players that I just think are going to be amazing. When you have Wellington Castillo and Paul Goldschmidt, just Gene Segura, great players that are able to get the job done. They're able to wake up in the morning and say, hey, I'm good. I can go out and I can go play baseball. And they are getting a lot of younger players. So they've got new players that are coming in. They've got AJ Pollock, who's a little bit on the older side, but he's still in great shape. But he's mixing with players like Yasmani Tomas, who's only like 26. So he's still got a lot of youth to him in that outfield. And I think that with a little help from David Peralta and some other great players, I think that the Diamondbacks are going to be the team to beat this year. I'm making that prediction quite early in camp. I want to see how their team really does play out, because they've got a lot of players that they can work with their 40-man roster trying to cut that down. I definitely think that the Diamondbacks are going to be just an electric team this year. And I think the last team that we're going to check up on today is going to be the World Series champions, the Kansas City Royals. And I want to see what they've really got left. So they've made two really good playoff runs in the past couple years. But after doing that and winning, what is really left of the team? What is the boundaries of where this team can go? Because they were never the team that really had great players. It was the chemistry and the support that they had from their fans. They were just amazing. It was the thing that really held them together. And I think that the team, the ragtag team, that system kind of worked. Because the Royals, when they were, at least on camera, seemed to be like they were a true family. They had players that, in normal situations, you really wouldn't think would mesh or work together. And in this case, it just did. Starting with the pitching staff, they've got some really good, strong, young players that they can really work with. Starting with Yordano Ventura, I mean, just great pitching staff that they've got. They've got some young blood in that pitching staff, but they've also got a lot of old players, which is concerning. Players like Chris Young and Edison Volquez, players that are no longer really in their prime of their career, players that are starting to fade away. They've still got decent stuff in their pitches, but they're not gaining players that are young and electric as the players that they really got. So I think the bullpen that the Royals had was pretty good. I think that was a very good point for them to use. They had a strong enough bullpen that they would let their starters go 5 or 6 innings, and then they would just have the bullpen clean it all up. Now, where the Royals make their money is in their offense. There's no doubting their offense. Starting with the catcher, Salvador Perez. Salvador Perez is just an absolute beast. He's 6'3", 240 pounds. He's just massive. He's a great player, great catcher. He knows how to call a game. He knows how to really work counts and make sure that batters are kept off their, out of their comfort zone. And he just runs the game like a captain. And, I mean, going to the infield, Eric Hosmer, just an amazing player. The lefty-lefty combination, 6'4", crazy tall, crazy powerful, still pretty young. I think he's got a lot of seasons left. And I think Mike Moustakas is going to help the Royals and Eric Hosmer really achieve something. Moose was a fan favorite during the playoffs, and usually is, where fans would actually bring moose antlers to games. And I think Mike Moustakas, his best point of being a baseball player is his hitting. He is an amazing hitter. He knows how to just hit a ball and place it where fielders aren't. And he can get on base, he can get on base, and then he can just run around the bases like it's easy. He's not insanely slow to the point where he couldn't steal a base, but I think that he has something about him that just allows him to be an electric player. And I mean, some newer players, Omar Infante, who's kind of just gone around teams. He's never really stayed with one team for more than a couple of seasons and sunk his toes into the mud. He's just kind of floated around. I think he's going to get the job done in the middle infield, even though he is aging, and this is most likely going to be one of his last seasons in the MLB. But I also think that players like Alcides Escobar, which are pretty young, I think they are going to help Omar Infante, and I think that the Royals manager is going to ease Omar Infante into games. He's not going to play him every single day. He's going to have him switch in every other game, or he might pull him every third game, but I think that the infield that the Royals have is quite strong. They know how to field ground balls. They can turn double plays. They just know what they're doing. And then the outfield. They have a lot of outfielders. But out of those outfielders, there are definitely some of the outfielders that you know who is going to get a job done. And that outfield is not held together unless you have Lorenzo Cain. Lorenzo Cain just does. He doesn't think. He doesn't do anything. He just does. He'll come into a game. He'll make a diving play. He'll come in. He'll hit a home run. He'll hit a double into the gap. He'll round the bases, and he's good. He just knows what he's doing. He's relatively young in terms of players. He's got a long career ahead of him, and I think that he can really grow with this Royals team. I think if the Royals manager puts him in a spot where he can drive runners in, he can get on base, he can run the bases, I think Lorenzo Cain is going to be the player for this team. I think that with Lorenzo Cain and Mike Moustakas, the offense of this team is just amazing. So if I had to put a lineup together, you gotta put Lorenzo Cain in that top couple spots, Mike Moustakas, Eric Hosmer, and then number four, Alex Gordon, who is a little bit up there in age, but still a solid player. He goes out, gets the job done. I don't think that he is the best hitter out in the entire world, but I definitely see him with practice being able to go out and be that 250, 270 hitter. In 2015, he did bat 271 during the regular season, and then batted 241 in the postseason. So I definitely see Alex Gordon as being a player that can definitely just, he can go out, he can make plays, he just will make the basic plays. He's not going to be like Lorenzo Cain, where he's diving all around the field. He's making plays that he has to run 120 feet for. But he'll go out and he'll get a single. He'll maybe pop a double here and there. He'll be that 275 hitter that the Royals need to be the Royals. And other than that, guys, that is going to do it for this week in the MLB. So thank you guys so much for watching the podcast. As you know, I am Logan Riley, and this is the In the Zone Baseball Podcast. And tune in next week for some more baseball action. Thanks for tuning in, and please make sure that you leave a like on the podcast.